Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, actually filling in for our lovely Miss Catherine Ironwood this week is Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. She will be joining our very own Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. And this week we'll be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. And together, y'all, they will take your call. Offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hooist of our time. And you can learn a lot just by listening. But if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjurman Ali and Madam Nadia. Conjurman Ali?
Thank you, Miss Emily, for that lovely introduction. As always, Miss Cat could not join us this afternoon. She's indisposed at the moment, and we wish her well, and she'll definitely be missed. But she will be back on soon. The show isn't quite the same without her, but we do have the wonderful Naga Shiva joining us, operating the board as he always does, our stalwart guide and behind-the-scenes operator. Madam Nadia is filling in for Miss Cat today, so we're going to have a lovely treat. And our guest is the lovely Miss Michael. Before we check in with Madam Nadia, a little bit of news. I have been once again trying to, I've mentioned this before, as I've been trying to organize some of my books. Summer has been spent quite a bit in travel and research, which I talked a little bit about last week. And so it's one of those few weekends where I managed to not travel, and I stayed catching up on rootwork clients and readings, which is always fun, but also trying to organize my thousands upon thousands of books that I managed to fit somehow in my residence. And I've been trying to organize them, but for any bibliophile, that is an impossible task, because what happens is I end up looking at this book, flipping through the pages, and this is really interesting. Let me set this aside and I'll read this. And before I realize it, I'm sitting there reading these books rather than putting them back on the shelf where they need to be. And this is the life of a bibliophile, and definitely of an academic. I will probably, if I feel inclined, probably post something on Facebook showing the piles of books that are surrounding my bed, my office space, and just haphazardly all over the place. So that's what I have been busy doing, you know, doing typical tourist work, cleaning things up to the best of my ability and trying to make this place beautiful. Other than that, I have been quite busy with root work, doing some fantastic, fantastic client work. Back to school stuff is stalling for me. I've spent most of the summer doing some harsher work, but mostly love work, reconciliation work, and family work. But now I'm starting to get the readings of people. How am I going to do this year when school stops? Am I going to do well? What can I do to ensure success? How do I get in, you know, to the program that I want, because applications are going to start up in a few months. So the timing is quite typical of what's going on in society as a whole as back to school starts. So it's been wonderful on my end. Let's check in with Madame Nadia and see how she's been doing. I guess she says, you have a full plate. I do, but I like it that way. I'm not a fan of idle hands. Madame Nadia, how have you been? Thank you for joining us and bravely stepping in to fill Ms. Cat's shoes.
Well, I will never be able to completely fill Ms. Cat's shoes, but thank you very much. I always enjoy being here. It's a pleasure. And as
well,
you were talking, Mr. Manali, I imagine this picture circulates on Facebook from time to time where there's a bed made of books. Mm-hmm. So when I see that, I always think about you. I'm like, if there is one person in the world that has a bed like that, it must be you. And then I thought, if you're going to post the titles of your books on Facebook, it's going to be like a mad gathering of all the occult people that are going to want, Conjurman Ali reads this and that. So I think you should do it. I think it's going to be
I should post some of those books. Some of them are you know, some very old occult books. Some of them are history books. I have books of every type that you can imagine in my own miniature library. But the bed of books things is so accurate. I often end up, I call it my second paramour, is my pile of books that end up on the bed and then have to be moved in order to make space. So I fully relate to that. But what have you been doing? How have you been enjoying the summer and the work that you do?
It's been very interesting. The summer for me was very varied. I mean, there was clients of all kinds. You know, I was anticipating love and focus on that, but it was really from all these different directions. But you can definitely feel the shifts in the air. Mm-hmm. And people going back to school and certain cycles sort of starting. So I have a few clients from abroad that this is the time where they usually sort of come back and like, hey, Madame Nadia, I want to know this and that. So it's always nice. Mm-hmm. But my client from Egypt, and I have a client in Australia, and they're all super, super nice. It's really nice to catch up.
So it's been the international client for you.
Yes. It's in the international client season. But maybe, you know, the international Madame Nadia is.
I always love comparing the various themes and trends that go on in a root worker's life, because it's fascinating to see, you know, how often we line up with things and how things match the astrological weather or just what's going on in society as a whole, you know, whether it's, you know, political season or back to school or the season, you know, the weather, you know, it's very fascinating to look at that. And I think it's one of the little secrets that all root workers do is when we get together, we always compare trends. So what type of clients are you getting right now? What's going on right now in your work? So that's fascinating. International clients. Yeah, I had that earlier in the summer, but now for me, very much back to school. But you are the wonderful and international Madame Nadia. Let's check in with Miss Michael. She has brought a wonderful topic, lodestone. But before we go into the topic itself, I want to check in first with her and see how she's doing. Because Miss Michael, you used to be a regular on the show, and you're definitely a fan favorite. But it's been a little bit since we've had you on the show. What have you been up to? How is life? And how are you keeping busy?
Well, I have a lot of love work right now, and I'll touch into why I think that is when we get into our panel discussion. I have some healing work that has some physical aspects and some psychological denial in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, on my altar, the blessed Dr. Hernandez and St. Dymphna seem to get along very well, so I like to have them working in tandem as necessary. And my love work has been really varied. Lots of keeping relationships together. Some of it's interfering relatives actually trying to break marriages up. And some of it's a wandering eye. And some other time we'll talk about whether fidelity is an orientation, just like straightness or gayness is. But that's another story for another day.
Oh, very interesting.
I've had some prosperity work that just kind of worked out, just textbook, you know. It was the kind of, it worked out to be like you see those scam artists advertise, results guaranteed in 72 hours. Well, that's the way it actually worked out this time.
It's always fantastic when work manifests fast.
A man who's been unemployed for about a year got a job after I lit the, just before I lit the second candle, I promised him.
The first one burned kind of dirty,
and by the time I got the second one together, he had the job.
Oh, that is fantastic. That's the best. It doesn't always work out that way when we do
work.
You know, clients often expect, oh, you know, you did it last night. Why didn't I get my paycheck today? You know, but it is fantastic when it does work out that way. And I think that's indicative of a variety of things. You know, the situation, how strong the work was itself, the circumstances, you know, did the client do their end of the work? And when all things line up, magic can really work miracles and quite fast. Not just, you know, oh, wait 3 months, but sometimes within, in your case, 72 hours. So that is fantastic. I'm very, very happy to hear that. And along those lines of financial and prosperity work, you have proposed a topic of lodestones. And I really think this is a fantastic topic. It gets right back to the roots, if you will, of what we do. Sometimes we can get very abstract and theoretical in our panels. And don't get me wrong, I love it. As a person who has, you know, quite a bit of that in his life, I enjoy the theory aspect of it and the practical. So the kind of, you know, getting in touch with spirit is something that we often talk about. And that's great. That's a fantastic topic. But I really love this, let's talk about what we do. Lodestones, right? Like an actual mineral, a material that we employ. For those that don't know, lodestones are popular in root work. Miss Cat has written quite a bit about them. There was recently at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival a lodestone panel of which Miss Michael was on, and I think she'll be sharing something from that panel later on. And lodestones are often used in a variety of different ways. They're known for their magnetic quality. And so they're used in drawing work. Now, that can be drawing work for love, in which two lodestones that are paired together are worked in order to attract two people together, whether known or unknown. Sometimes they're used by themselves to just draw in luck or money or all sorts of different things. They are a powerful spirit helper, and people, many root workers, Ms. Michael, I know you do as well, have personalized lodestones, large lodestones that they work regularly on their altars that may have names that are worked in unique fashions. What I find fascinating is that when people take on minerals or roots or these various items, magic and materia that we work with as personal spirits or as you know, allies, they manifest in very unique ways. They go in directions that we may not always be familiar with on traditional grounds. They may have a personal quality to them. And so I hope that we can speak a little bit about that in this panel. Ms. Michael, since you have proposed this topic to us, why don't you tell us a little bit about the work that you do with lodestones and the direction you want us to take in this discussion?
Well, I always find these panels educational as much when I'm part of them as when I'm listening in the chat room. So I'm going to have some questions as well as the things that I have discovered. And I will begin with something rather odd. When Miss Cat and I were relatively distant from each other years ago, I said I needed a bigger lodestone for my prosperity altar, and so she said, well, let me help you find something special, because none of the ones in the shop wanted to come home with me. And so we went out to the barn, and she dipped into her lodestone bucket, and she came up with a big heart-shaped one, you know, about as big as a pear. And she handed it to me, and, you know, it was just so impressive. And she dipped in her hand again and came up with another one about the same size. And they fitted together. They had originally been part of the same piece of rock. And so I took them home and I fed them and I blessed them and I talked to them and I listened for their names. And I thought, well, okay, fine. These are classic for love work, but I've always been lucky in love. I don't really need any help. I do need money. So I said to them that I needed help with prosperity, and would that even work? And they said, yeah, why not? And so most all my work that they have brought me has been love work.
Interesting. So even though they are fitted lodestones, which is often used for love and substance, they're using you're using them for money, and they work just fine. Now you mentioned,
and they're bringing me love
them.
Work almost entirely.
Oh, that's fantastic. You mentioned that you fed them. Can you explain a little bit by what you mean? I know we know on the panel, but for people listening,
yes.
And what do you mean when you say you fed your lodestones and you blessed them?
Well, I bless them mostly by talking to them and giving them incense. Many people, and I think this may come from Afro-Caribbean traditions, but I'm not absolutely sure. Maybe you know.
Mm-hmm.
Many people will soak or wash them in whiskey first. That makes me rather nervous because the strongest whiskeys commonly available are 100 proof, which is 50% water, and lodestones are iron. And I was nervous about rust. Some people use Hoyt's cologne or some other spiritual perfume. And that's only about 27% alcohol. So I just sprinkle them. Occasionally, I dab them with a drop or two of some prosperity oil. I do give them incense, but mostly this is their bread and butter. I give them magnetic sand, iron filings. And
iron
I mix
filing,
it with gold
yeah.
sand, which is magnetic sand that has a brassy pigment mixed into it, a powdery brassy pigment, very shiny. And now they're all kind of gleaming from years of being fed gold sand as a treat or a supplement.
And, you know, that's a sign of lodestones that are well-loved and well-worked, is when you can see over years they collect various filings, and they have sometimes other things around them, like my lodestones have roots around them. And what this does is it's really indicative of how well they're loved, and more importantly, how well they're worked. And the more you work lodestones, at least how I've found, the stronger they become and the stronger your connection to them becomes. They gain the power in this really dynamic way that I think makes lodestone work so powerful. This isn't the type of work where you light the candle, you forget it, and then it's done. It's constantly engaging it. It becomes an anchor point in your spiritual life, drawing things towards you. So I think that's fantastic. I think those are some great introductions and great ideas about lodestone. I want to bring in Madame Nadia. Madame Nadia, you work with lodestones and various things, and magnets and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about your practice and how lodestones feature in that.
I do like lodestones and I do like magnets. For some reason, it's been working really, really strongly for me. I don't know if it's iron or what it is, but it's a really strong connection for me. And what I wanted to say when I was listening to you guys is that it's important to know that stones come in many different sizes and shapes.
Yes.
So what Miss Michael is talking about is really, really, really large lodestones. They come in smaller and sizes, and they come in lodestone grids. So if you want to put some of that in a mojo bag, it's absolutely possible. Just, you know, don't put a huge stone in there. Or if you want to work it for love magic, you want two matching stones, but it's going to be on, you know, smaller surface because you're not a woodworker, but you're just working for yourself. Then there's bigger lodestones, and you can really see how they match together. The other thing that I wanted to say is that there are live lodestones and dead lodestones.
Yes.
And another important point, especially when you are looking for one, and it's very easy to see because if you feed it magnetic sand and magnetic sand does not stick, you know that the stone is dead. But if it does stick, you know that it's working well for you. There's also sexes to the lodestones, right? There's female and male. It's a whole science. I mean, that's pretty, pretty amazing. But my favorite thing about my Akurin lodestone is that I, for the first time, I introduced this kind of work to my daughter, who is 5 and a half. And so she helped me to wash my lodestone and redo certain things. Then we were like, what is what is it? What should we call it? And suddenly she said, it looks like a rat. And I looked at her like, yeah, it looks like a rat. I've never seen it before. So we're thinking, and we both called it Ratatouille. So what's known as called Ratatouille. And it likes it. It's like, it's super excited about it. I'm totally fine with that. And I think that's another thing that we do a lot is that we name them. We talk to them. And the name has a power of itself. So if you wanna have something that's gonna bring you money, you might, you know, call it by a name that represents that, or if it's love stones, whatever it is. So, and the minute you give something a name, it becomes much more alive, and you can feel more the entity of it. And there's in general, there's a whole, you know, level of magic in naming things and knowing their name and so forth, or not sharing their name, maybe. So it's very important to me. It's very important to me to name them. And if I do love work, then I would be naming them either he and she, which is very common, or I would be actually naming and blessing them in the name of the couple or the people that I'm trying to unite.
Right. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And I think, you know, noting the different sizes and types of lodestones is very important, because lodestones can be used in a variety of different ways. If I can, I'm just going to jump off of a couple of things that both of you have mentioned and just add my sense then. Washing them in whiskey is a very Southern hoodoo tradition. It does have a very strong African link. There's whole ideas about alcohol and palm wine and whatnot in African traditions, as well as whiskey and rum, both of which became powerful spirits, you know, objects. The idea being that the Africans were brought over across the ocean and quite literally spiritually consumed, and the product of that consumption were things like sugar and tobacco and alcohol that came back into Africa. And so they became quite literally the material manifestation of the residue of ancestors, and they're used to feed the spirit. So there's a long tradition of that, and hoodoo adopts that African practice of washing things in alcohol. You also find some European traditions have a connection with alcohol, but not as much with the idea of whiskey. That is very Southern hoodoo. Rum is much more Afro-Caribbean. And so people wash their lodestones, they wash their roots, they feed their mojo bag with whiskey, and it comes from Southern African-American practice. Now, when it comes to different types of lodestones and different sizes, I think one of the things that you can do is you can work in layers, and this is something that I do myself. I have two large lodestones that are matching. They're not specimen size. They're not massive, because I need to be able to move them, right? But they are larger ones, and they fit together. And I work this moving lodestone work, and I learned a derivation of this, and then Miss Cat retaught this work again and showed me how to do alter it a little bit. And what she recommended and what I do now is that I have these two large lodestones that are for my root work. It's for when I do love spells of that type or love drawing work. They're named Adam and Eve. And, you know, what I will do is when a client comes to me, I will then separate these lodestones, wash them, prepare them, and then I will take a small lodestone or a lodestone grit and make them specifically blessed and consecrated for my client and the target or the unknown person. Oh. Then I will use these small lodestone grits to ride the large lodestone. And as I draw these two lodestones together over several days, and then they finally come together, they're fed every single day, then I take the two lodestone grits, and then they're used in matching doll babies or matching mojo hands that I send out to the client. In this way, I'm not constantly making unique or separate lodestone works for every single client, so I don't have hundreds and hundreds of lodestones sitting around. I have two lodestones that I use for love work, and then lodestone grits that I add on top, what are known as riders. and they ride on top of the lodestones. And I do that for a variety of different clients whenever they do love work. And then I had a separate one for just general attracting, and that's a little bit more specimen size. So just a way of kind of recognizing the different sizes and different uses for them. A large specimen lodestone for me is general attraction of money and things like that. Whereas matching ones I use for love, but I'm not going to be sticking those into a mojo bag simply because they're quite large, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I use instead lodestone grits that ride on top of them. But that's one way of why I think lodestone work is so dynamic. You're constantly engaged with it. There's a variety of different ways of working it and bringing power into it. So adding, for example, riders personalizes it. I'm not just doing, you know, these aren't just lodestones that I use all the time. They're lodestones that specifically are attached to the working, and they have the power of all of the two large lodestones that I've been working year after year after year, has all that power built up, and it lends that power into the lodestone grits that are personal to those individuals. And again, this is why I think it's such powerful, powerful work. Ms. Michael, you mentioned that you also have these kind of specimen-sized lodestones that are matching, but you do it, for you, it's drawing work. It brings in money, and it brings in love clients. Mm-hmm. Now, when clients come to you and they ask for love work or money work, how do you employ the lodestones to help out? Do you use those large lodestones, or is that just for drawing in clients? Do you place petitions under them? What is it? How do you work?
Yeah, I do that. Sometimes I put riders on my two lodestones. And mm-hmm. it's really, my prosperity altar is gradually turning into a peaceful home altar. Because prosperity is, you know, if you're on the streets, well, you know, they say love don't pay the rent. But, you know, if you're on the streets and you don't split up, you know, you're still together. That is some powerful love. Mm-hmm. But love is always easier when there's enough money around. And so why shouldn't you do some prosperity work? No reason not to. So I might put riders on each of my two heart lodestones. But, you know, they're supporting each other anyway. Mm-hmm. Because of the way they were formed, you know, back in when the earth was all magma and everything. So, yeah, I do put riders on them sometimes, but often for prosperity work, I will put a pinch of the lodestone hairs on candles.
Oh, interesting.
On job candles and peaceful home and things like that.
Yeah. That is a fantastic way of working. I've taken what I call the lodestone hairs, or the magnetic sand, and mixed it into powders. So if I'm doing come-to-me work or drawing work or sometime, I will then if I've worked the lodestone on my altar for a period of time, I will then include a bit of the hairs into the powders, and I'll mix it with the dirt. And this is a way of connecting two types of magic. You know, sympathetic magic, the magic that you do by similarity, by likeness, that's done at the altar and often at a distance, with what's known as contagion magic, or magic that's done by contact. And it's a good way of connecting, and I find that a very, very powerful way of working, of aligning your magical work from your altars with the magical work that you're doing out. And I will send those powders out to clients. So I'll do love work on my altar, or attraction work on my altar, and then I'll mix a bit of the magnetic sand into the powders and the dirt, and I'll send that out to a client and say, go lay that out in front of so-and-so's house, or go put this in front of your doorstep. And it's a great way of working. So I love that you can include the magnetic hairs into the powders that you do. Madam Navia, I wanted to ask you, when you do lodestone work, is it primarily for prosperity or love, or is it in a completely different direction? For example, Ms. Michael mentioned that how there's taking on a peaceful home quality on her prosperity altars, which I think is fascinating and really speaks to the dynamic nature of spirit. How about for you? Do you find a particular type of working draws you to employing or deploying lodestone work?
For me, it's definitely more about attraction and success. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Ms. Michael mentioned the different, the two types of of not the grids of the lodestone my head is not here. The gold and the regular.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so it's very interesting because if I would do just money work, I would use the regular type. I would feed them. But if I use career or success, it's just automatic. I go for the gold one. And then they have little tiny crowns because you keep feeding them and they have those little tiny crowns. And oftentimes, instead of writers, I would have a bunch of magnets there. And I go to like science stores and get different sizes. And they come, it's very easy to find hearts and stars, for instance. And so they would get fed as well. And then I can use those for in mojo bags or different works in my clients. For instance, I love using magnets in attraction containers and attach all kinds of manners of items or pictures or something to the top with a magnet. Some magnets are so strong that you can, you know, you won't be able to separate them, but they live really well with lodestone. They seem to just vibe very, very similarly. And another thing that I do, and I recommend other people to do, is to personalize when you start working with the lodestone. Take a bus with it. And start that sort of connection from that. Both of you are kind of cleansing yourself with the bath. Then, you know, you can go to whiskey and you can do the whole thing. And for my whiskey, I use Crown Royal that I spike with cinnamon very often.
That's a good way of working. Heats up the whiskey even more.
Yes, and it's amazing for money and it's amazing for love. Now, the one thing that I was thinking as we were talking about here, is someone ever using lodestones for negative work, for darker arts, as in drawing things that are not positive? I've never seen that, but
there are a lot of folkloric beliefs, as I found when I was looking around on the internets, brainstorming for this segment. A lot of cultures have beliefs that you got to be careful with lodestones; they will attract lightning. You can't take a lodestone into church because there's a suspicious spirit in it. It might be a devil, and it will draw sickness out of somebody's body.
I've heard the sickness one. This is an interesting. I've never heard of it drawing using it to draw dark work, like consciously. Like, I'm going to draw bad luck to you, right? Because I think the spiritual logic in hoodoo is that bad luck isn't drawn, it's something's gone wrong, right? So it's crossing. That's why we call it crossing. It's a subversion of the natural order. The natural order is luck, prosperity, love, etc., and so on in the traditional world of hoodoo. But that is a very fascinating question because there is a connection with lightning. I have heard that before, and some have even called lodestones captured lightning based off of the kind of myth that they're formed out of lightning strikes. Only some are. Most are naturally forming. And I have heard of the drawing out health, but only a handful of people have said that they use their lodestone to draw out bad health from a person. Like if they feel pain, they will rub a lodestone over it. Almost like some people use an egg for healing work. Some have said they use their lodestone in that way, where they hold a lodestone near someone and draw out the bad health, and then they wash it out. I don't know if it's particularly popular in hoodoo. I've heard the lightning one in hoodoo. I haven't heard the health one, but some people are adapting it in that way. And that just goes to show you how dynamic they are and how in personalized ways people take it in different directions. Now, we do have a couple questions in the chat room that I wanted to open up to you ladies, if I could. Alchemical Artisan's Hour asks, magnetic hematite is interesting. Has anyone made use of that? So I'm going to ask you guys that. And then, of course, Nagashiva asks, do manufactured magnets have different personalities than lodestones? This is a great question because I have used lodestones, but I actually used magnets before I used lodestones. Magnets were far more popular in Virginian conjure than lodestones were. And my teacher used magnets in a variety of uses. She used to have this big old magnet, this round one, that she would place under her candle holders for attraction work that she would do. And she said magnets were really strong because they draw in quickly. versus lodestones, which are much more natural. So that's my take. I haven't had experience with hematite, but let's see if you guys have. Have you had experience with hematite or experience magnetic hematite or experience with magnets versus lodestones?
I haven't done much work with man-made magnets. I am very partial to hematite, but I haven't actually had a chance to get hold of any magnetic hematite. The hematite I know is the shiny black stuff, and it's very hypnotic. It's good. I find it very good for meditation work.
Interesting. How about you, Madam Nadia? Magnets or magnetic hematite at all?
Magnets, definitely. I mean, I talked about it, and I think that sometimes in an urban setting, it would be much easier if you need to find something quickly to find a magnet, to find a lodestone. So in that sense, here is already a level of quick and fast and swiftness. I do think that magnets work sometimes fast. It's sort of like if you think about lodestone and you think about a honey jar. Honey jar is not necessarily going to be working fast, but it's going to work solid. It's going to keep those things together. But if you want something that's faster, you would maybe go just for candles or candles around that container because you need things to happen, or add like cinnamon or ginger. So magnets are like that to me too. If you need something to happen quickly, use a magnet. But if you want it to continue that work, to continue drawing, then add that lodestone or have them around the lodestone. I find that if they're around the lodestone, they're going to be more, it's going to be more solid work as opposed to just a magnet. That will do, you know, the trick now, but you will have to maybe do something different later or add something to it. Hematite is not my forte. I don't know. I never try to, I don't see that being necessarily part of hoodoo per se. And I also don't work much with crystals and stones and stuff like that. So maybe
They are particularly fascinating. Besides my carnelian ring and crystal balls, I'm not a big stone person, but a lot of people really like hematite for exactly the qualities that Miss Michael mentioned, the kind of hypnotic. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, Miss Michael, you know more about this than I do. Grounding work tends to be quite a bit with hematite.
Not for me. It sends me straight out there. Maybe something.
Really?
Maybe my guides want me grounded out there, 1 foot in the air.
Well, this was the bump of music is on. This is a fascinating discussion, and we really could go on. And there's so many questions in the chat room. Thank you both for your contributions, and thank you, Ms. Michael, for bringing this fantastic topic to us. We are going to go over to our callers now who are looking in for readings and consultations, and we'll have the lovely Ms. Tammy Lee guide us towards that.
Thank you, Contavent Ali, and y'all, the lucky Mother Hoodoo Rural Tower, with your host, Contavent Ali, and this week's very special guest host, Madam Nadia, filling in for our very own Miss Catherine Ironwood, and Miss Michael will be right back. And y'all will be taking calls from our listeners, answering questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home contour remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client. And our first new client is calling in from the great state of California, from Los Angeles. This is Mimi from area code 818. Mimi, are you there, caller? Mimi?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Mimi. Can you hear me, dear?
Yes, I can hear.
Okay, great. Beg your pardon, sir. Welcome to the show, and I'm going to go ahead and...
Oh, thank you very much.
sure. Well, it's great to have you on, and I'm just going to go ahead and fill our host in and our audience in for those listening out there with your situation that you have here and regarding your sister and just a little background with you. Now, Mimi is new to calling into the show, and she has been to Ms. Cat. As a member of AIR, she is a Ms. Cat client, and
yes.
has been to Ms. Cat actually regarding her sister. And so we're going to go ahead and read the synopsis of her case. And she writes, "My sister in Eastern Europe has a very bad situation with our mother where they just can't get along no matter how I try to get them to reconcile. It seems like they have something hanging over them, preventing them from having peace and love between them. They are both Capricorns, so that must be the problem number one. I'm sorry she can't be on the radio. She is overseas and doesn't speak English yet." Turning it back over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. So, Eastern Europe, we have the lovely Madam Nadia, who will be doing the reading first. And she can give insight. So, Madam Nadia, if you can weave your fortunes for us.
Definitely, definitely. Hello, Mimi. How are you doing?
Hello, Madam Nadia. I'm doing fine, and I want, first of all, to thank you all for taking my call. It's first time I am on radio at all.
Exciting.
I am nervous.
I almost feel the need to go into Russian and speak to Russian. Do you speak Russian?
Ukrainian, actually, but I do
Ukrainian.
Speak both languages.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I was feeling that, definitely. But let's see what's coming up for you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So what I'm doing here is I'm pulling four cards from my, funny enough, Russian clone of the Rider-Waite deck. And the first card that I'm getting here is the Nine of Swords, and in this specific card we see two ladies. One of them is very ill and she's in the bed. The other one is feeding her, doting on her, is being very concerned, and then the swords are in the air. So for me, it says that one of the women in your family, it's sort of the problem is in her or within her or because of her, and the other person is attempting to change the situation, but is cannot come through right now. Mm-hmm. Then I have the Seven of Pentacles, and in the Seven of Pentacles, we see a man who is sort of holding his hand on a garden tool, and there are seven pentacles. And so it tells me that there is something here about money, and that the reason the situation is happening is not just because they're Capricorns or something, that there's some financial issue that is being, that the woman who is going through, who has experienced the problem from within is being jinxed or cursed or given an evil eye because of financial situation. And then
yes.
I have a very
firm yes.
Okay, perfect. And then I have the Star card here. And the Star card is a beautiful card because it tells me, first of all, this is a situation that can be dealt with. This is a situation that needs to have sort of two hands working it, or maybe two people mm-hmm. working it, as in maybe you're doing work for them or they're doing work for themselves, and then you have a root worker, because the lady in the Star card, she is kneeling on the ground, but her other foot is in the water, and she's pulling water on both of the sides. And I would also highly recommend working with astrology, or working by the stars and the moon, working at night perhaps. And then the last card, I have a confirmation of that. This is the Ace of Cups. So what I see here, first and foremost, is that there is some major cleansing that needs to be done. And mm-hmm. that if you find the source of this problem, this is going to be also much easier to deal with. To me, because of how the cards lay, I think that there is a man that's connected to the financial part that maybe is giving the evil eye, and that the woman who is not feeling well, who is experiencing it from within, is the mother.
That's exactly what is going on.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So I'm going to let my colleagues continue from here and see what we can do about it.
Thank you for that, Madam Norio. Fantastic reading. And it seems like you hit the nail right on the head. We'll have Ms. Michael do the second reading and see what she can offer, what insights that she can give us, Ms. Michael.
I got a quite different story, or at least much different aspects of the same story. This is... Nadia foresaw something of a happy ending if the right kind of work is done. And I don't see any disaster in these cards, certainly, but I do see a lot of hard truths. The first card is the Lovers, and at the end, Madam Nadia mentioned a man involved messing things up. So there may be an ex, or there may be an ex, you said?
Yes.
Okay, all right. He's involved in this some way.
Yes.
The next card is the Knight of Swords. Somebody wants to take decisive action that may not be a good idea. Like it says in the Bible, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. The last two cards show the contrast. Strength on one side and submission on the other. The Knight of Coins, patient, reliable, respectable, and he has the right idea. And either your mother or your sister, I don't know which one is being sensible, but one of those two is being sensible and the other just needs to realize that, because the last card is the Hanged Man. Surrender and submission. So there's a lot of wounded pride that needs to be dealt with and cleansed away and sweetened and mollified. People need to be sensible, to kiss and make up. And I know that can be really hard. While your situation was being read, I started shuffling my cards, preparing to pull these. One fell out of the deck. It was Temperance. That's the key to the problem on the psychological level.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so.
Good.
Thank you, Ms. Michael. That was a fantastic reading, and I think you're both definitely right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some suggestions on what you can do to help smooth out these differences and bring some harmony back between them. And then we'll have Ms. Michael and Madam Nadia add their suggestions if they have any, and additions. First and foremost, you do mention that they're both Capricorns, and that can be a bit tricky. Capricorns are one of the signs that are a little harder to influence, along with a few others. There are some that are hard to influence, and they can be quite stubborn and difficult, intractable, if you will, when they decided that they've ground in their heels. So what I recommend in a situation like this is a peaceful family working that involves sweetening and prayers and candlelight. What I want you to do is set up a space where you can work, a space that's going to be dedicated to this particular spiritual endeavor of yours. It can be a on top of a dresser or bookshelf, any type of space that you can work from regularly. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to get two photos of when you were a happy family, right? Or photos of you all together. If you want to just use a photo of them together, that's fine, but I recommend the whole family. If you can't get one, you can always Photoshop one together or tape one together, but the idea is that they have to be together. And they have to be happy. It has to be associated with some type of good memory, if possible. And what you're going to do is you're going to get a picture frame. And on the back of this photo, you are going to write out Psalm 23 in its entirety. You're going to dust it lightly with some peaceful home powders. And then you're going to put it in the picture frame, close the picture frame up, and set this up on the altar. Towards the back and in the middle, if you will, so it'll be the background of the work that you do. Then you are going to make a honey jar that you are going to work in front of it. A honey jar is kind of the go-to work for this type of peaceful home to smooth out differences, to soften hardened hearts, and to sweeten tongues. And that is what is going to be required here. So what you're going to do is take the honey jar, you're going to take another photo, the second copy. On the back, you're going to write their names interlocking with one another. So you're going to write one of their names, then you're going to write the other one below it, but slightly overlapping. Then you're going to do the same with the other one. And you're going to do this a total of 7 times so that the names are overlapping and mixing together, but they are in a row. Then around it, you don't want to cross them. You don't want to cross them. You want to actually overlay them. Then around this, in an unbroken circle, you're going to write peace and love without lifting your pencil or pen in an unbroken ring. It's going to take a little bit of practice, but you can do it. Now, you're going to place this photo down. In the center of it, you're going to place 2 bay leaves. You're going to put a little bit of bloodroot, a pinch of basil, 2 balm of Gilead, one for her, one for one for the daughter, one for the mother, a little bit of rosemary, which brings peace into the home, and then pennyroyal, which protects the family, because there seems to be an interloper and some interference here. So pennyroyal to protect the family. You will fold this up, place it into the honey jar, sticking your finger in, right, so that your finger gets touched with the honey. You're going to lick the honey and go, as this honey is sweet, so will both of these people be sweet to one another and sweet to me. Close the honey jar and place this in front of the picture frame that you have on your altar and light a candle, peaceful home, blessing. You're going to anoint it with those oils and you're going to pray Psalm 23 over it. And you're going to do this every day for 1 month total. Okay? After that month, you can go to doing it once a week. You can go to it when the moon is waxing. Whichever regular schedule that you prefer. But for the first month, you are going to have to do it every day, and that is to kind of build up the heat, to kind of bring in the power, the spiritual force, praying over it daily, and to help turn this situation around. That's what I would recommend here. Good, solid work to bring peace and sweetness, and to kind of bring this fight and conflict to an end. There may be different angles to it, and maybe Ms. Michael and Madame Nadia can talk about it, working a different hand, making more protective work, or other varieties of doing things. But this is what I would recommend from my end, okay?
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Go ahead,
for
Madam.
Me. If you were to send like a product over there, maybe candles or something, would they use it? Or do you want them to know that you're doing that kind of work?
Oh, yes. I would like, my sister always cooperates with me on any of these issues.
Good.
And
she's
open to any suggestions, absolutely.
Okay, so because I have a lot of these powerful cards that contain water, I would suggest making peaceful water, peaceful home spray. Vanvin, making something like that and having it on your altar as you pray for a month. And another 2 things actually that I would add to the wonderful, wonderful mix that Conjurman Ali suggested is that I would add deer tongue, so they speak to each other sweetly. And I would also put actual vanilla bean, deer tongue is vanilla leaf, vanilla bean, and pray over it for a month. And then I would send it, and I would ask your sister to put it in the sugar jar that is being used in the house. And if they don't live together, then maybe she can make some cookies and use that sugar after the vanilla bean were there. It's going to smell amazing. But you're going to send your intention in a very, very concentrated form over there. And so every time there are arguments or something starts, they can just do spray, you know, oh, that's just for... to make the room smell nicer, you know, to make things fresher. Nobody's going to be questioning that. And of course, vanilla bean and sugar, make the sugar tastier or smell nicer. But I feel that it's going to bring a whole additional layer to the work if you send like a little bit of your altar over there.
That is a fantastic suggestion. And vanilla bean and sugar, is a very old way of working. It's a time-tested way of working. It's a time and tested and true way of working. And I think it's great because while you're doing your work over here with the honey and the frame and the candles, you have work that's being done there that's grounding the work in the family and home, that keeping the sugar out right on the table, right in the dining room, is a great way of keeping that power in the home, keeping it peaceful. And then, of course, ingesting it, you know, using it in the cooking, in the tea. That is fantastic, fantastic way of working. But it is important that they, you know, do their part, if you will. And I think that's a good way of really linking these two together. Ms. Mitchell, do you have anything to add or any suggestions that came to you while you were doing your reading?
Yes, I have just, you've done some great solid reconciliation work. I would only add bay leaf to those herbs in the honey jar to bring wisdom and favor to each other. I haven't seen much protective work. I don't get the impression that really, really strong protective work is needed, but I'd like to suggest a bath that your mother and sister can make over there in Eastern Europe from local ingredients. Pine needles, white, that is yellow, mustard seed, and rosemary. Now, mustard seed is sharp and hot, so it's protective, but also all you need is faith like a grain of mustard seed to move a mountain, okay? Jesus said so. So boil those together, save a little bit to drink, and then take a bath in the rest and save a little of the bath water to mix with cleaning products, so that they can be continuing to protect and bless their house without having to think about it. A scripture that can be used is James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And that can be said, written on the back of the picture of the party who's not being sensible.
That's a great suggestion. So you would recommend, if there's one of them that's being a little bit more difficult, to write that scripture on the back of the photo behind that person, to kind of humble them a little bit, to say, look, calm down, relax, let's see the reason, let's see the good here, and be more agreeable.
Yeah.
That
there's also
fantastic.
That verse in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Come, let us reason together.
Also,
so these are great scriptures to be adding into the work that you do. And you also mentioned bay leaf, which I mentioned in my honey jar, so thanks for that confirmation. I think you're absolutely right, because one element of this is needing clarity.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
You know, the protective clarity healing aspect is very important here. Thank you for your call. I know it's always difficult to deal with family difficulties or drama, but we do thank you for trusting us with your work and your situation. We do wish you all the best. Be sure to check in with us. Let us know how things turn out. Let us know how the situation ends up. We always love hearing back. So you can always call back and give us a little bit of a heads up. Hey, thank you very much. And thank you for calling in. It was great to have you. I know this is your first time. The great suggestions all around from Madam Nadia and Miss Michael. What we'll do is we'll have Miss Tammy Lee come in and direct us towards our next call.
Well, yes, sir, Congressman Ali. Well, y'all, we've got some great music, and unfortunately, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and bring y'all in, and y'all's support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and look at it online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next new client. And our next new client is calling in from Southern California. This is Monique, calling in from area code 714. Monique, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much. I see that you have put in the form that you've been listening via podcast. And thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and let everyone know that, and let our panel certainly know that. And I'm going to go ahead and read for our host what you've written here in the form for us, okay?
Okay.
You are new to air, of course, and you've written that you have not gone to any of the other members of air. And let's see, your history. She does write, other readers had her reading last week. She said to have faith in my magic, and my ex should come back in 4 weeks from that reading. But she, Monique does not indicate if that was a member of AIR or not, okay? And Monique writes, broke up 4th of July. He was abusing substances, was 1.5 hours away, did a red witch candle and honey jar spell on him. I feel a spiritual connection to him and see visions of us living together and being together. Still in love and want him back. Turning it over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. I will do the first reading here today. I'm chuckling as I speak. If I could, Monique, I want to ask a couple clarifying questions. You say that you broke up on the 4th of July and he was abusing substances. Is that the reason you guys broke up?
We also live, there's some distance between us, mm-hmm. an hour and a half. And yeah, he was doing drugs. He was drunk. He made a fool of himself. And I think he said we should just end it because of the distance. And I think because he made a fool of himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Sagittarius.
And what is his?
Capricorn.
Capricorn and Sagittarius. That's an interesting combination there. Not one you see very often. Sagittarius and Capricorn. Okay. Well, I have pulled 3 cards here, and I'm going to take a look and see if they bode well or not. The very first card that I have here is the Knight of Swords. The Knight of Swords is a young knight that rushes into battle. It is a very fast-moving knight. It is very full of emotion and passion. He's got his sword raised as he's charging forward on his steed at breakneck speed. And it does confirm very much so that he's not exactly in the right place. He wasn't, but he also still isn't. And that's a very important factor to remember here, that this is a person who's charging into life and doing kind of what he wants, even if it means sometimes to the detriment of himself and the detriment of people around him. You say he was making a fool of himself. I would say a little bit more than making a fool of himself. I think he knows that his actions were not conducive for a good relationship. He recognizes that. It is interesting that he's a Capricorn. How old is he, if you don't mind me asking?
He's 28. I'm 32.
That is 32. Okay, that is a bit unusual for a Capricorn, simply because Capricorns are a little bit more sober-minded, and they don't often find themselves making a fool of themselves. However, when they are addicted to something, or when they are abusing a substance, it can be quite hard to break them out of it. It can be very difficult for them to break that. So be wary of that. But the Knight of Swords does indicate trouble, and it does mean that things may not turn out the way that you want. The next card that I have is the Four of Cups. The Four of Cups shows me a man with his arms crossed, and he is refusing a golden goblet that is coming out of the sky. Now, it's interesting. The image of a golden goblet coming out of clouds is a parallel to the, or an invocation of the image of the Ace of Cups. It is a card which usually represents love and prosperity and blessing and happiness. And this is the person who's rejecting that. And instead, he's got 3 other goblets, and he's like, I have these in front of me. Why should I worry? So I will say that my reading may indicate a little bit different than what the previous reader had said, that in this case, it may be likely that it's going to come easily. He still seems quite stubborn. He still seems like his arms are crossed. He still seems to be making a decision that is not exactly in his best interest. He's saying, look, it's great and all that you offer me this, but I have these other options before me. In fact, I would go on to say that in the next few months, there is this high possibility, if not already, that rivals will appear. Not anything, you know, particularly long-lasting, but definitely temptations that will encourage the lifestyle and choices that he's already making. So be aware of that, that this temptation is going to be present, and it's going to be an easy distraction for him. He goes, you know, I have these. Why should I come back to this long-distance relationship? Even though it's not that long, it's an hour and a half drive. He goes, well, why do I have to go in that? And I'm able to do what I please here. But it's not all doom and gloom. I don't sense that things are completely over between you. There's still something left. And that's what I see in the final card, the King of Cups. The King of Cups shows us a royal figure sitting on a throne in the middle of the waves. Now, this means that the feelings are still there. He does actually still care for you quite a bit. And this may lead him to contact you. There may be communication. I wouldn't be surprised if it's done while he's under the influence of something. And it's possible that he has a drunk dial and calls you up at late at night and it's very emotional. That's fine. It may happen. Things are not all over. There will be more contact between you two, and that will be the result of the work that you have done. It's good work, but the King of Cups is on unstable ground. It's not solid, and this is quite clear, indicating that reconciliation may still be a bit out of reach. He's just not right in the right place for an emotional relationship at this point in time. There's still more work that needs to be done on his end. He needs to get to the same place you are. He needs a little bit more solid of a foundation before this relationship has a chance of success. So the answer is yes, there may be some reconciling between you two, but it may not be to the extent that you hope for, and there may be some rivals and troubles along the way. That's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see what they can add to the situation, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, so Ms. Mikel, I believe it's your reading.
Okay. All right. I pulled two Bible verses while Ali was talking. I did listen pretty closely, and I was just struck by the fact that he made a fool of himself, as you put it so politely, and then he dumped you.
Yeah.
You didn't walk away from him in disgust. He left you, that's got wounded pride all over it. You know, I don't think he wants to be called on the things he's done that have not been good for your relationship. I don't think he's so much charging away as running away. And it's very, clients tell me stories like this, and it's like, I don't have any respect. I'm sorry to say that, but that's my perspective. Anyway, the two scriptures I pulled were Jeremiah 44:17. Where Israel is saying to God, we will do just whatever comes out of whatever thing we say we're going to do. We will do just anything that comes out of our mouths. And too bad for anybody else's desire, opinions, or needs. And yet the prospect of reconciliation is confirmed by John 16:17, where the disciples are saying to Jesus, what do you mean? A little while longer, and you'll see me no more, and then you'll see me again. And you might well do well to ask the same question. I would say, protect yourself, respect yourself, and insist on some accountability. That's what I've got.
Thank you for that, Ms. Mikel. That was a very interesting reading. I think a bit of a tough truth there, hard truths, as you were mentioning earlier. So I think I would concur that the Knight of Swords does indicate a person who's not exactly ready to be in a relationship. It's a bit more self-serving and will do what needs to be done, regardless of who it hurts. But you did, Mo, you mentioned that you had a connection with this person. I would turn this over to Madame Nadia and see what she would recommend. I would echo that even if you're doing reconciliation work, it should be done with a very clear mind of look, if we're getting back together, I need you to be on the same page that I'm on. And you need to treat me the way that I need to be treated. So some firm boundaries is definitely needed at the very least. But we'll see what Madame Nadia says. She is, after all, quite the expert when it comes to drawing in wayward lovers and setting men right. So let's have Madame Nadia.
Hi, Monique. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
As I was listening to the reading, funny enough, I just pulled cards and I got the Knight of Swords in there too. I thought that Capricorn that shows up as a Knight of Swords is like the stubborn goat that shows up as a baby goat. So it's that there is two sides to that. And thinking later into that, the King of Cups and the Four of Cups. The King of Cups holds the cup that the Four of Cups refuses to. So there's two sides to him. There is very, very clear two sides. One of them is the Knight of Swords, is when he goes crazy. When he goes for his obsessions, his things, for what he wants. And then there is the sort of the older version of him, the apologetic version, maybe very romantic version. And so you catch yourself, you are between those two things. And maybe even the fact that it's not peaceful can be a way to attract you. But outside of that, first of all, I recommend that whatever you're going to do with reconciliation work, I want you to set a very clear time limit. So you're not continuing to do this forever and ever and ever. Or if he calls you because, you know, he's in that kind of mood or he's in drinking, then you think that, oh my God, my work is working, and then he disappears. And this is your job to decide when the time limit is coming. A lot of people work by 3 months. It can be by, you know, by my next birthday, by his birthday, by a holiday, I don't know, by Halloween. You need to decide that. And since this show is about lodestones, I would recommend doing your reconciliation work with lodestones. Two moving candles, two moving lodestones. But I also want you to do another thing that is more important to me, and that is a skull work. You want to get white skull candle,
and
you want to load
candle?
It. Skull.
Okay.
Skull candle. And you, and you want to load it with a tiny bit of bay leaf, eucalyptus, and sage. Just a tiny bit, and, you know, cover it back with wax, melt it, so it can stand straight. And then baptize it for him, and get some clarity oil. I want you to do your reconciliation work for a week. So what you're going to be doing is in that week, you're going to be bringing two candles, male and female, closer, closer, closer to each other, as well as the lodestone.
Okay.
And because you're going to be lighting it a little bit every day, at the same time, you're going to be lighting the candle that represents him and asking for clarity. I would also use his picture and put a glass of water every evening on his picture when I pray, and then throw the water out and replenish the water the next day. If you have personal concerns, of course, that would be really good to use them in the work. If you have hair, for instance, I would definitely include it in the skull candle. And of course, you can use it in the love candles. If you use his hair, I would use your hair as well. As you're doing the work, of course, you're praying for reconciliation, but you're also praying for him to realize what's good for him. So, you know, you can party and do all of that so much. But here, there is a woman that knows about all of that and is still willing to be with him. And to pray and just talk to him and say, hey, I need you to realize what's going on. I need you to realize what's good for you. Because you can change a person's mind through magic, but for a very short time. It means that you will have to do it over and over and over and over and over again
to keep him with you. And I don't think that's a healthy thing unless he changes his mind and then he's ready to do the work himself. And he sees that the reality of the situation. So this is my recommendations so far. And I wonder what Countryman Ali and Ms. Michael have to say.
That's a fantastic working. I think you were absolutely right on with skull working in addition to reconciliation work, because you, Monique, I'm sorry, what you need here is him to step up, right? So you can reconcile, but if the bad habits are still there, it's just going to lead to further trouble. So I think the skull working here is exactly the complement that you need to really get into his mind. Now, the only thing I would have to add is that you might have to repeat it more than once, the skull candle, simply because Capricorns are really hard to influence, and we've mentioned this before on the show. They're not easy to get to do what you want them to do. Let's see if Ms. Michael has anything to add on there, any type of working that she would recommend or additions that she has.
Yeah, just a couple, one little one and a big one. I liked Miss Nadia's work with the skull candle and the glass of water. Into that glass of water, put some dissolved cast-off evil bath crystals or some eucalyptus and bay leaf tea. The bay leaf, the eucalyptus, the sage, perfect combo for straighten up and fly right work. And this is going to be a maintenance until he steps in to take over the spiritual part of the work himself, whether even if he never lights a candle. Okay, or recite the psalm, because spirituality isn't only magic. But if you are just dead set on keeping a man who requires constant magical and spiritual maintenance, you may need a nation sack. So save your pennies and get one.
A nation sack. Particularly good for an old-timey work, for fidelity and keeping a man bound, and very good what I would recommend in this situation is just a reiteration of what Madam Nadia said, and that is a timeline. Set yourself a very clear one. It could be your birthday. When is your birthday in November or in December?
It's in December.
Okay, set yourself a clear deadline. It could be something as meaningful as your birthday. It's entirely up to you. But if by that time, and this is a clear thing about timelines, we play with timelines, we rationalize it. If he calls me on my birthday, oh, that's a sign, we're getting back together. No. It needs to be a clear, by my birthday or by my timeline, we're together and he's made improvements to stop his drinking or his substance abuse or whatever it is, right? So it needs to be very clear and unequivocal. And if he hasn't done so, it's time to move on. Simply because you can't get dragged down into it. I know Ms. Michael mentioned the maintenance project, but that's not for you. You can't be stuck in a situation like that. And she said this before, you know, that respect, right? You need to respect yourself, and you can't let yourself be stuck in a situation where you're doing all the work, lighting candles, praying, making all the effort to keep it together, and it's barely being held together, okay?
I did purchase an intranquility spell from the website couple days ago.
Okay, well, that's not for you. I wouldn't recommend it. We do have to move on, but I'll just say it really quickly. Intranquility work is not what you need. He's already in a bad state.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you for your call, my dear.
Good luck.
And good luck. Thank you for all the suggestions and readings by Ms. Michael and Madam Nadia. And we are going to head over to our next section, which is the free spell.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie. Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa. Monday, 5 to 7, Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain. Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston. Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield. Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand. Saturdays, noon to 3, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And y'all, now it's time for our freestyle section. And Miss Mike Howe of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, is going to bring that to us. And she's going to be telling us tonight about lodestones in that section. And she's going to have not one, but two spells for us. Miss Mike Howe?
Slight change of plans, Miss Tammy Lee. I have a spell and a book. Okay.
Oh, spell and a book. Sounds great.
Yeah. All right. First of all, I know a lot of you in the chat room and in the archives didn't get to go to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year, where I was on the Lodestone panel. And I had a nice simple one about how to attract the right kind of friends. Not just loyal and sweet, but also inspiring, if that's what you need in your life. And you can go to a place or a magazine where inspiring stories of real people are told, whether it's biographies or back issues of Life magazine, or my favorite, humansofnewyork.com, and copy some people's pictures and a little summary of their story, but not their names. Because you don't need them to move to where you are. You just need to find the right kind of, that kind of people who live locally. Okay? And you take those pictures and summaries and you put them under a lodestone, just like you were training money. Just tuck them under your lodestone on your altar. And you leave them there for a week or two. And then you take them out and you hide them in places where you like to hang out. For me, that's the health food store and the public library. It might be your favorite bar. It might be church. It might be your workplace or your favorite restaurant. And the right kind of people, the people you need to know, will gradually be drawn there and will show up eventually when you are there. So be open and willing to talk. That's the free spell. Now, the book is a novel. It's called The 9-Pound Hammer by John Claude Bemis, B-E-M-I-S. It's about a boy who has a lodestone his father gave him, and it pulls him south until he ends up in a medicine show with a snake charmer, a blind sharpshooter, and a young man named Conker, orphan son of John Henry the steel-driving man. And they have to defeat that steam drill all over again because it was built by Gog of Magog. I haven't finished it yet. But tell Miss Cat there's a copy in the Forestville Public Library.
When was this novel published, if you don't mind me asking?
I think it came out last year.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's
biblical
new.
Overtones, Americana.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it's in the young adult section in the public library, amongst the books for older children.
Ah, interesting. Now,
wonderful.
In regards to the lodestone spell that you recommended,
mm-hmm.
This is specifically to bring in friendship, right?
Yes.
Partnership. Can it be altered in any way to be draw in specific types of friends? So people who are going to help you financially, or people that will help you romantically, right? They will be in the same, you know, arena as you, if you will. Or is it much more open-ended? Just keep your mind open.
I wrote it to be open-ended, and the examples I provided were a stout-hearted social worker who helps homeless children,
mm-hmm.
an accountant who quit his job to write plays, and just a nice lady who is open to conversation because she knows that you can start a lifelong friendship at any time. You got to be ready. But, you know, if you want various versions of Mr. Wright to meet you at church, you could work it that way.
Fantastic. And what was the inspiration for this spell, if you don't mind me asking?
It was time to be thinking of lodestone spells, and there I was at Humans of New York.
The Humans of New York is quite fascinating.
I love it.
I have a love-hate relationship with it. Not a hate relationship, a love, slightly askance, looking at it askance sort of way.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal thing. I think it's fantastic. And part of this you recommend is going out and keeping an open mind, right, and meeting
mm-hmm.
people.
Absolutely.
And talking to people. And I think mm-hmm. this is a very important part of the work, because some people forget that.
Yeah.
They do love work, and then they sit at home. where you do bring in friendship work and then they sit on the couch. And that's not going to
happen. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You have to do your leg of the work.
At least go on Facebook.
Yeah. You have to do your end of the work. You have to be out there and open and allow yourself. Allow yourself to reap in what you've sowed. You know, you can plant the seeds, but if you never actually go out and reap them, then that's a bit of a problem. So it is very important that you go out there and meet people and keep an open mind.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree, Madam Nadia?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to put yourself out there. I think that if you're really a great mage, you definitely can bring, you know, some people to your door and there'll be a great friendship. But, you know, most chances are you will actually have to go and deal with the world. But I wanted to compliment Miss Michael because I think that it's really important to have clear focal points and parameters in whatever we do.
Mm-hmm.
So finding pictures that represent what you want and how you envision it.
Yeah.
Is going to make it so much easier to create the reality that you want. It's almost like writing your own story, making your life into a movie that is happening according to how you want it to be. So, for instance, you know, my other part of me is filmmaking and doing stuff like that. So when I'm trying to create something, I do it very often. I'll pick out pictures that represent my characters or places where that represent something. And
yeah.
Then it's so much easier for me. Or tarot cards. Are you tarot cards for that?
Yeah.
So much easier
for
me.
You can read a description of somebody inspiring and amazing that you'd like to know, but a picture will cement it and say, look, this person is real. He's right here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or a picture of two friends together and uh-huh. sort of meditating on that or bringing that or any kind of thing, you know, just to get, because pictures carry so much energy, so much vibe. There's so much mm-hmm. unspoken truth there. And it's so much easier to look at the picture and focus on that than on the idea of friendship.
That's very true, and I do love what you point out, writing your own story. I think that's a great way of putting it, Madam Nadia. You're absolutely right. And you can use a variety of different things to really focus in on that. Pictures of ideal friendships, images, and the more you add, I argue, the more power you can really bring to the situation, the more personalized. That's why altars should be built up in that way, with the images of what you want, what you desire, as well as petitions. So combining them is a powerful way of working. So thank you for that, Miss Michael. It was a fantastic, fantastic working and a great commentary by Miss Madam Nadia. And we are at the end of our show. We're going to have the lovely Miss Tammy Lee take us out.
Thank you, Countryman Ali and Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our special guest host this week. And thank you, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our special guest member premiere this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when we will have another guest member of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Kanjaman Ali at kanjamanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again at the same time when you hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Be blessed. Good night.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. Just a couple last-minute announcements. There are apprenticeships that are going on in Forestville, Lucky Mojo. I don't know the exact date for that, but if you call in, you can find out more about that. Also, next week's guest will be Miss Aida, and she will be presenting Working with Animals. Nagashiba has announced that the apprenticeships are this week. So we can definitely look forward to that. If you haven't checked out the apprenticeships at Lucky Mojo, you're really missing out. That's Hoodoo Learn the Old School Way, hands-on approach. Definitely, definitely recommend it. And just tune in next week, where Professor Porterfield will be joining us as a guest co-host, and we will have Miss Aida as our guest, discussing working with animals within the hoodoo tradition, within root work, and in our personal practices. So, looking forward to that. Thank you, everyone, and have a great week.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Night.